Blog Talk Radio. With Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. And I think they're going to change daylight savings time, I think, coming up this weekend or something. But right now it's 7 p.m. on my time. It's been raining for days, and not raining men, but raining rain. And, we have... I'm getting a show tonight. I'm not sure, but now you know when everybody's going to call in. Well, hopefully, we're going to be talking again about the Niagara Falls County. If I sound like I'm eating, I can't help it. Well, okay. First of all, before I even go into what I'm talking about. My favorite commercial, and then I'll explain. What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale. Okay, well, of course, you can get them on www.brownies.com, but I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. Fairy Tale Brownies, send me some brownies to try. Well, actually, it's their new enrobed truffles. In other words, it's like these little brownies enrobed in dark chocolate, and it has little like candy cane, little crushed up pieces of candy cane on the top, and it's more minty inside. And it was so good. I mean, okay, I had two. I had one, before, and then I thought I was going to eat it while I was going to introduce, but I'm sorry, it went, like, down my throat before. So here I am with co-hosting here with Esther, my rubber chicken. Talk to us. At the end, she'll talk. But during this show, but she'll whisper in my ear to help remind me of things. That's a good thing about her. But so Esther's with me, and as I was saying, we're going to talk about Niagara County. I'm waiting for Kate. Actually, Kate Scaglione is calling in, and she's going to be co-hosting with me. Kate, are you there?
Hi, Merle. How are you?
Oh, just fine. I just had a brownie.
A brownie?
Fairy Tale Brownies. This is...
did you have some good Niagara USA wine with it?
Well, I didn't want to have it with it, because it sort of, I tried that. With chocolate and the wine, and it didn't work.
Oh.
Fruit goes better. I don't think a chocolate, does that. But I did. I did have some today. And I have to tell you, it's interesting because now I had gotten the wine from from Becker Farms.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And the wine from Becker Farms, I got two wines. They were both apple wines. And one was the apple cranberry.
Mm.
And the other was, and I had to know, I haven't tried it yet. It's a spiced apple.
Ooh, that sounds good.
And this, I know the spiced apple, I'm supposed to, like, heat it up and eat it. I haven't had it heat it up and eat it. Is that what I said? And drink it. So I'm going to have that. I haven't made dinner yet. I was waiting. And I wanted to have my dessert first. So I had the brownie. I know you've never had fairy tale brownies, have you?
No, but they sound awfully good.
This is like, it's like there's no better brownie in the whole world. and then I get an email and, saying, oh, we have some brownies for you to try, Do you mind if we send them to you? Now, twist my arm.
Do I really mind?
Do I mind, And then along with it comes two more boxes of brownies, too.
Wow.
But I don't know that it was like, what I was really in the mood for, especially after having the wine. What I was going to say was I had gotten wine from Schultz Vineyards.
Mm-hmm.
And the wine I got there was a Comment Cherry. It was a cherry.
Ooh.
It was a blush wine with cherries in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to combine the two of the apple, the cran apple with the cherry wine. Now talk about getting your
life on the edge.
I mean,
life on the edge of the taste buds, right?
I mean, all that wonderful fruit.
How was it?
Oh, it's absolutely delicious. What a combination. Add to this, now here's what, I had this cheese. It was a Tilson cheese with apricots in it.
Ooh, yummy.
So look at all that wonderful fruit and cheese and the wine.
I think you had a taste of how good all of our fruits and veggies are up here.
Oh yeah, they were really great. I was hoping. I couldn't get hold of Diane.
Because
I wanted to talk about the Barton Hill Hotel. Let's talk about the Barton Hill a bit.
Well, Barton Hill, as you know, because you stayed there, it's in Lewiston, New York, which is a lovely little village about 6 miles north of Niagara Falls, right on the Niagara River. And Lewiston is almost like a fairy tale. Talk about fairy tales. A fairy tale little spot full of wonderful eateries and restaurants and little shops. And at the very end of Center Street, if you take Center Street all the way to the end, you come to the Niagara River. And the Barton Hill Hotel overlooks the Niagara River, so it's in a splendid, wonderful spot. And they like to let their guests feel that they are in a country home, so that they don't really want you thinking that you're in a hotel. And I think they really make you at home. The rooms, each room is different, and the beds are to die for. They are so comfortable.
I took one home with me. I didn't tell her, though.
I didn't want to leave myself. I was like, oh, can I stay here, please? Or maybe they'd let me have a place there. I could charge it as a business expense. But
yeah, right. I know one thing about the place, there's no closets.
Well, and we know what they like to say about that. They like to cater to a certain segment of the population, and that there are no closets here.
Well, I'm certainly gonna spread the news. I'm going on in a couple of weeks. Wow, it's only a couple of weeks. I'm going on the cruise suite, which is a lesbian cruise that I'm going on. And I can actually, you know, spread the word for her. And it's actually what's going to be interesting to me is to see, like, where everybody is from. I mean, are they going to, are the women just going to be from, let's say, the United States? Because mm-hmm. it's going out of New Orleans.
Oh, that's
going to be
fun.
Out of just the United States? Or would they actually come from, not just like Canada, but will they come from actually another country?
Yeah.
Just
well,
to go on a cruise.
How big is the ship, do you know?
It's got 12 decks.
Wow. Wow, that's a pretty big ship.
It's a pretty big ship. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. You've been on a website, haven't you?
Yes.
You see that picture of me like going underwater?
Yes.
I'm going to do it again. I'm doing it when we get to Cozumel.
Well, that's supposed to be the big diving mecca, so maybe you've got another career in store for you.
Yeah, well, I don't know, but I
Merle
can't,
Exit,
I can't
diver
swim.
Extraordinaire.
Well, I can't swim, so this is going to be something. Well, they say you don't get your hair wet, no, your whole head, it doesn't get wet. So in other words, I'm basically from what I'm getting is that I'm putting this helmet on my head and I'm going to just like walk into the water.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
And it goes down 20 feet or something. I'm going to be freaking out. I know I'll be panicking.
Well, talking about getting wet, I mean, it was unfortunate when you came to visit that you just missed the Whirlpool jet boats, and you talk about getting wet. They leave also from the dock at Lewiston, and you go
up. Is that where they leave from?
Yeah.
Oh.
So we're right there, right at Water Street Landing, the restaurant that sits overlooking the river. And the jet boat ride is a blast. It's a 45-minute ride, and if you think you get wet on Maid of the Mist or Cave of the Winds, you need to check out the jet boat because you get soaked.
Well, that's a little bit sort of on purpose, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of obvious that they're swirling in certain spots sort of to make sure you get.
Yes, and they I think they have some names for some of the waves, the big Kahuna and I forget something else, but they give you your money's worth, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I'll get to do that when I come back next.
The next time.
Yeah, when I come back to see like maybe a hotel that I didn't really get to see or something like that. You know what I mean?
There's always something new to see, and you know, you just sort of scratch the surface of some of things to do, but certainly an awful lot more to discover.
Yeah, certainly a lot of fruits and stuff like that, and wow, I mean, like I know we went to one winery in particular, it was Schultz Vineyard, but then there were the two farms. It was the Becker Farm.
Becker Farms has Viscara Vineyards, which is their winery, and of course they also just recently opened a Becker Brewery for the beer lovers. So Becker Farms and Viscara Vineyards really is getting to the point where, well, not getting to the point, they are surpassing the point where there is something literally for everybody in the family, whether, you know, you're a little kid and you want to go to the petting zoo, or you want to take a hayride, or you want to go pick fruit, or you want to drink beer, drink wine.
Oh, sure. They were on, I had both of them on last week on the radio.
And, this is a busy time of year for them, but a beautiful time of year, and since you were here just in the last couple of weeks, the leaves are just magnificent right now. It is so beautiful.
Oh, I
just
bet.
Beautiful.
I imagine. We also what do you call it? The Niagara Falls State Park. That was really interesting.
And next year they're going to be celebrating 125th anniversary because they're the oldest state park in the country, as you know. And so I think they've got a lot of special activities planned, and July 15th is the actual day where they're celebrating the opening of the park, or the anniversary of the opening of the park. And I think we're going to probably see some special packages that will be available, and
cool.
Because people really, that's such a great value for people because you can buy a discovery pass and then that gives you access to all of the attractions within the park, the Maid of the Mist, the Cave of the Winds, the aquarium, the Legends of Adventure Theater, which shows the big movie, the trolley, the Discovery Center. So all of that just for $33
cool.
for adults and $26.50 for children. So it's really a great value.
Well, one of the other places we went to visit was also the historic versus the hysteric Riviera Theater. As a matter of fact, do I happen to have Frank here?
Yes, you do.
Look at that.
Hi, Frank.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? We're just chatting about Niagara in general, and now we were just moving on to, as Mel likes to say, not the hysteric, but the historic Riviera Theater. So,
so
I'm
Frank,
sure she's got lots of questions for you.
Yeah, tell us about
it. I guess
the
I
place.
Called it a good time, didn't I?
You certainly did. Tell us about the place.
Well, the historic Riviera Theater was built by Max Yellen, who was an attorney in Buffalo, New York, whose brother was the famous Jack Yellen, who wrote Happy Days Are Here Again and Ain't She Sweet. And it was built as a vaudeville house and a silent picture house. And it opened up on December 30th, 1926, to a full crowd of about 1,300 people.
Were you there at the time?
I was there in spirit, I'm sure.
Oh, okay.
we're very, very fortunate in that it has remained in operation since 1926. It closed briefly for 6 months back in the 70s, but other than that, it has been a functioning performing arts center / movie house since 1926. We're located about 100 yards from the banks of the Erie Canal in charming North Tonawanda, New York, and probably our biggest claim to fame is the mighty Wurlitzer theater organ that is housed in the Riviera Theater. It's one of the few remaining original theater organs left in the theater for which it was designed by the Wurlitzer family. The Wurlitzer factory, when it was open, was located about 4 miles from the Riviera Theater. So what they did was, back in the 1926, they put one of their three-manual demonstrator models into the Riviera Theater, and with the understanding that we would allow them to bring potential customers to the Riviera Theater to try out the organ so they could decide if it was something they wanted to purchase for their own theater.
Wow.
So over the years, the Wurlitzer factory brought, you know, hundreds, probably thousands of people to try this mighty Wurlitzer that we still have in our orchestra pit out. And, I mean, just the thought of the history of the number of people that sat and played there is pretty astounding.
Wow. What, you know, I have to tell you, when I was there, I got to admit, it's the biggest organ I've ever handled. Did you?
Wow.
Yeah. Now, do you have silent movies there?
We do. We've got a variety of events. Silent movies are part of our offerings. We also have talking films. We have vaudeville shows. We just started doing live burlesque again once a month, which is kind of neat. But we also have musicals. We have dance studios that come in and do dance recitals. We have national comedians. We have rock bands. We are home to the local American Legion band. The Buffalo Philharmonic has graced our stage a few times. So it really is a multi-purpose venue.
So as a matter of fact, we saw, we didn't exactly see the Beatles. We saw a rendition of the
Beatlemania.
Yeah.
Beatlemania now, yes.
And as one of our other colleagues mentioned, he says that Niagara will become one of the places we remember after one of the Beatles songs. And we love Niagara, yay, yay, yay.
Oh, okay. this is true. And I did have a great time. What I thought was also interesting, and so as a matter of fact, Esther, my rubber chicken, thought it was interesting too about the. She was with me the whole time. And
well, we found her to be very interesting as well. I just want you to know.
Yeah, she might have been around. She might have been around when it opened. We don't know, but you know. But
well, you know, she's always welcome there for free as long as she sits on your lap.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she will. She's pretty good with that. She absolutely loved the projector. That's really like old. Explain how that whole thing works. Or does it still work? You were talking about like they used to use a candle or something or a light or bulb, or how did that work?
Right. We use carbon rods. There are no bulbs in the projectors. They're old carbon arc projectors is what they're called. They're not original. The theater was built in 1926, and the originals were damaged in a fire. But these were put in 1934, so they're still pretty old. But basically what they do is they put these carbon rods into the projector. They're wrapped in copper, and they actually light the carbon rods, and the flame is so bright that it bounces off of a mirror at one end of the projector, and the mirror reflects the light from the flame through the film, the 35-millimeter film, and actually throws it through the lens, the picture through the lens, 90 feet onto a silver screen.
Wow.
That's really astounding.
There are very few of those projectors left in service in the United States. There are only two in Western New York. We have a set, and so does the Shays in Buffalo, New York. But most of your historic museums, like the Eastman Museum in Rochester, has gone to a xenon bulb. They no longer use the open flames, but we still do, and it's a real art form to be able to work those projectors. And we're fortunate enough to have 6 volunteer projectionists that help us out at the theater for all of our films.
Well, I think too. I mean, I think just having the sort of the group of volunteers, I'm sure you'd agree that without your volunteers, probably would be impossible to open the doors to the public, and that they are so dedicated and so interested in what they're doing and loving, passionate about what they do. So you're very lucky to have those folks to help you.
We are. We're very, very fortunate. It's a thrill for me to listen to their stories. Many of them worked there as teenagers in the 1940s and the 1950s, and, of course, are now coming back as seniors. And I get a charge out of when they bring their grandchildren that are visiting their grandparents into the theater, and, they tell them, where they sold concessions or where they were ushers. And, my grandchildren will have to come to a historic McDonald's because that's where I worked when I was 16. I wasn't able to work at a, beautiful historic theater. But, you speak about volunteers, and it's really the volunteers that saved the theater. About 23 years ago, there was a pop artist named Rick James that was going to purchase the Riviera Theater and turn it into a recording studio, which would have been okay, except that part of the deal was that he was going to take out the original Mighty Wurlitzer Theater organ and sell it. He was going to sell it to an amusement park in Japan. And, of course, the history behind that organ and the fact that the Wurlitzer plant was in North Tonawanda, it just couldn't happen. So while he was on his concert tour overseas, a group of people in the Niagara Frontier Organ Society took second mortgages out on their homes and actually purchased the theater out from underneath Rick James. So when he came back, it was a done deal. It was signed, and the deed was in the name of the Niagara Frontier Organ Society. And they formed a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, and they've been in control of the theater ever since. But it was their 250 members that restored the theater from top to bottom with donated paint. They even purchased a commercial sewing machine, and several ladies volunteered their time during the week and on weekends to hand sew every one of the 1,200 seats that are in the theater.
Well, you'd mentioned when we were there that as you've restored the seats, that you've found all kinds of interesting items behind the seats as you've been working. What were some of the things that you've come across there?
Well, we came across many, many pictures of grandchildren, school pictures, and the grandmothers wrote on the back, future president of the United States, future rocket scientist, and all kinds of neat aspirations that they had for their grandchildren.
How much gum did you find under the seats?
We found lots of gum, and we found some really neat old candy wrappers that we actually made some displays out of.
Wow. I find it interesting. It's like And I remember as a kid, it's like I would never, like, if I'm walking in the street or something, I would never throw a candy wrapper on the floor. I just would wait to, you know, for garbage. But it was like you're supposed to throw things on the floor of a movie theater. That's what I got the feeling. Like, oh, you don't throw in the garbage. It just gets you thrown on the floor. Popcorn, whatever it is, you just throw it on the floor. It was like I thought it was like the right thing to do, you know?
Well, is that the right thing to do, Frank? What do you think?
I still think it's the right thing to do. Well, they still think it's the right thing to do. And I don't know if you remember, but when you were there, the seats are at an angle, a 7-degree pitch for the floor. And so what we do is our cleaners come in after everyone leaves, and we have 3 leaf blowers, and they use the leaf blowers under the seat to push all of the popcorn and candy wrappers and what have you down to the front of the theater so they can vacuum them all up.
Oh, wow.
You've got a big concert coming up, an organ concert coming up in the next week, right?
Well, we do.
Weekend.
This coming Sunday, actually. We actually have 3 big events coming up. On Friday night, we have the Rocky Horror Picture Party. It's our 3rd annual. It usually draws close to 1,000 people.
Oh, I can imagine.
It's a great event. The fun starts at 9 o'clock, and we have the Ladies of Club Marcella, which are it's a drag show, and they work in conjunction with the Eye Candy Burlesque, which are the real girls, and they put together a really phenomenal stage show. It lasts about an hour and a half, and then we have a costume contest, and then at midnight we have the actual Rocky Horror Picture Show, complete with live actors performing on the stage floor in front of the silver screen while the movie's going on. It's a lot of fun.
And do people bring props?
They bring their props, and props are also available.
We have the other. Here's the key.
For the patrons to purchase as well.
Uh-huh.
And then on Saturday, we have the Eastern Paranormal Society. They are sponsoring a ghost hunt. And they come to our theater a couple of times a year, and they set up all of their equipment and, you know, their heat sensors and their voice sensors, and they've actually recorded some supernatural beings in our theater at night. And so they're opening it up to the public. They're going to explain to the public how all of their equipment works, and then they're going to go on a ghost hunt.
Oh, very cool.
So that'll be fun on Halloween night.
I just wanted to kind of interject. I know, because like somebody is also like calling in, and I know you're there. That's all. Go ahead.
And then on Sunday, November 1st, we are very fortunate to have Jelani Eddington perform at the Mighty Wurlitzer. He is coming from Madison, Wisconsin. He's one of the finest theater organists in the entire world. He travels around the world, and this is his 3rd appearance in the last 3 years, and he's just an amazing organist, and he'll be there Sunday at 2 p.m., and it's definitely a concert you won't want to miss.
Wow.
Isn't he known to be sort of almost like the rock star of the organists?
Absolutely.
He
really is. And, you know, he's got an interesting personal story as well. He graduated from Yale Law School and was a big-shot attorney in Manhattan, and he was walking on the street during 9/11, and was fortunate enough not to be injured, but he kind of had an epiphany and said, you know, this is not what I want to do the rest of my life. I don't want to practice law. I really want to do what I truly love, and that's play the theater organ.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has made an incredible career out of, you know, playing the theater organ. But if you met this guy, you know that he is the kind of person that will be good at no matter what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And he has chosen the theater organ. He's got numerous recordings. And we're very, very fortunate to have the talent of his caliber at the Riviera Theater this Sunday.
Well, I gotta tell you, when I come back up there, I hope it'll be a time when you're doing the Rocky Horror, because I think it's having an old theater like that makes it even more fun. You know,
well, that's fun.
Setting.
Some of the silent films we have are a lot of fun as well. This past August, we did Mel Brooks' silent movie, and you know, again, we had 650 people there, you know, watching Mel Brooks' film with the Mighty Wurlitzer accompaniment. And there's just something about watching some of these classic films in a room full of people. I mean, beyond what you would have at some of the commercial movie chains, you know, because we hold so many more. It's just the energy is just amazing. And, you know, this past August to the end of August, Labor Day weekend, we always have our Three Stooges Film Festival. And that's always sold out. We have 1,200 people watching the Three Stooges for 2.5 hours.
Wow,
and
cool.
It's just a really, really fun event.
Can you get a sense of, like, how far away people come to see these things?
Well, we have people from Toronto coming down for a lot of our rock concerts. We have people coming from as far away as New York and Boston and Washington, D.C.
You'll get people from Rochester then, right? Easily?
We do. We get a lot of bus tours from Rochester.
Okay. Cool.
So, and that's another nice feature of our theater. We do offer tours for organizations. If they call the theater, we're happy to arrange, group tours. And if they're not interested in the historic portion of the tour, we also will provide private organ concerts for various organizations. And
What's your website?
Our website is www.rivieratheater.org, and that's spelled RIVIERATHEATRE.org. Mm-hmm. And our box office number and office phone number is area code 716-692-2413.
Great. Well, Frank, I really appreciate that you called in. This is really great to know. And as I said, when I'm invited back up there, which I know I will be, me and Esther.
Only if Esther behaves herself.
Yeah, she'll behave herself. Maybe.
Well, you always have an open invitation, and I know that you have my cell phone number, so I look forward to hearing from you and Esther again soon.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you again so much. And, certainly we'll be in touch.
That's great. You know, and as long as I'm on the air, I just want to give Kate a personal thanks for all that she does to help support the Niagara region and the Riviera to the rest of the world. We are so blessed to have Kate in the position that she does. She works her tail off, and we are truly grateful for all of her hard work.
Well,
you know,
you're very sweet, and you shouldn't talk about hard work, because you're oftentimes the one, well, more than most times, in fact, almost always, a one-man show there, and you talk about working hard. You have really and are doing a wonderful job there, and it's a pleasure to have such a great gem to promote, so we're lucky.
Well, thank you very much. Well, both of you have a great evening.
Yes, you too.
Bye, Frank.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye,
Frank. Okay, so now let's see. Okay, open up that mic. Open up this mic. Come on.
Hello.
All right. Okay.
How are you?
Who do I got?
This is John from Water Street Landing.
Oh, good.
How are you?
Oh, just fine. Listen, I mean, you know, like the food was good, so I had to, you know, get you on there.
Well, thank you. I have to apologize. I'm loading up my babies. We just bought a new car, and so if I'm a little distracted, I'm just trying to do two things at once here. I just ran a little bit too long here, but I'm at your beck and call.
Okay. Well, first, before we get into the menu, let's talk about the restaurant itself, like, you know, the location and what you got. Yeah, tell us.
All right. We're right down on the Mighty Niagara in Lewiston, right on the edge of the river. It used to be called the Riverside Inn. About 5 years ago, I took it over. We're just, about 50, 75 yards from the Art Park, turn off. And, we like to think of ourselves as one of the premier dining destinations in Western New York.
And you certainly are. We love it. This is Kate. I'm on the air as well.
Hey, Kate. How are you?
I'm good. And we love to come to your restaurant, and the food is fantastic, and the view is splendid. So,
we always love having you there. We always look forward to it.
Yeah, I have to, again, when I go back, maybe in the, like, you know, when the summertime or spring or whatever, Yeah, get when after I get off the boat, I guess.
Yeah.
to get off the jet boat.
Not a lot of boat traffic right now, but we like to give people a reason to come down during the during the off season. I kind of think that the fall and the winter is actually more beautiful than, I shouldn't say more. You know what, it's a different dynamic, but I love it. I mean, when you come down and when there's icebergs and they're going cross-flow and you can see all the different currents. And, you know, traditionally, the closer you are, there's an old saying, the closer you are to water, the lower the quality of the dining experience. And that's something that we've tried to really, really, change that thinking. One of the best compliments we had was Guy Fieri from the Food Network came in over the summer to ride the jet boat, and we cajoled him to have a bite to eat with us, and he invited us to his show, and he was very complimentary of what we do. And my guys in the kitchen try real hard to take the long way around the barn when they prepare the food. Even if our French fries, we use fresh potatoes and we do them fresh every day. There's nothing frozen, and we try to have a little bit of everything for everybody, whether it's steaks and lobster to burgers and wings. So
That's the great part too. I mean, you've got the variety, and you've got the tell everybody about the the fine dining, but then you've got the outside and in the summertime, and the variety of cuisine that you offer.
Well, I would imagine, like, in terms of food, like the produce, at least you can use local.
Well, we try to use local produce, local purveyors whenever we can. Obviously it's a tall order if we're looking for pineapples in February, but there are plenty of things that we use every day. There's a gentleman that drops off every Friday as a free fresh zucchini and some of the best tomatoes, and it really does make a difference. And West New York has some of the most fertile soil for growth, and we just like to not only capitalize on the geography, but also the economy as well. So we like to think of ourselves as somebody who's really embedded in the local community.
Well, I know a certain thing is like listening, so I'll just kind of say that you do serve chicken.
I'm sorry, I broke up.
You serve chicken, don't you?
Oh yes, we serve a little bit of everything.
I didn't want a certain someone in the room here to hear about that.
About the chicken?
Yeah, that you serve chicken. Esther is with me.
Well, we also do a fish fry too on Friday, though. So we're by land and by sea here.
Well, you got the menu in front of you?
Actually, I don't. But what would you like to know?
We want to tell people. I'm trying to remember what I had. I know everything was good.
Did you have the chicken the roasted chicken dinner?
Oh, no. I'm just mentioning that, but we didn't have that.
We also do a large array of steaks that go anywhere from our sirloin for $14 in the sidebar to, New York strip for $27 to $29. As I like to say, we try to get people to come down as many times for as many reasons as possible. And because of that, that's why we have such a diverse menu. But
give me some appetizers. What kind of appetizers?
Oh, anything from your basic shrimp cocktail to prawns to scallops. We will run a bruschetta. Every day is a different adventure with the guys in the kitchen. We also do have other appetizers hot poppers and pizza logs. And so, again, I always like to say, whether you're in a suit and tie or jeans and a T-shirt, we have a good reason for you to come down and relax. There's been other appetizers that, are totally you know, we don't run a set special. You know, like some restaurants have the same specials on a rotation, and then you know that Tuesdays are one thing and Wednesdays are another special. When it comes to our dining room, our specials are only based on what we feel we can bring in the freshest quality for our guests on that particular day. Sometimes the guys get very creative and inventive. One time they had an espresso rubbed tenderloin that was shaved and wrapped around a bacon with a Gouda finish, and it was it was just extremely rich. You're not going to want to eat a full plate of that, but you know, for an appetizer, it really, really gets you going.
Wow. You know, the problem is, the problem is, Kate, I'm getting, in terms of picturing, like, what I ate, I'm getting it mixed up with the, when we ate at the casino.
Oh, right. Well, I think you discovered on your very flying visit to Niagara that we've got many, many fine dining experiences, and I think as a region we pride ourselves on wonderful restaurants, and it doesn't really matter where you go. Obviously, some places like Water Street Landing are better than others, but I think we've got a tremendous variety.
Oh, I do remember the food was great, but for some reason it's like in my head because I'm getting it mixed up. Like, oh, no, that's not what I had there. I had that there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and
as long as it's all a good experience in Western New York, we're all in the same bed.
Right.
And because we misbehaved, you put us in our own room, didn't you?
Sometimes you can really read a book by its cover, you know, and you got to get ready for them.
Yeah. Well, I didn't do the scene from The Wizard of Oz, so you don't have to worry about that. Nobody. I usually do that on my press trips.
You never know what you're going to get with these travel writers.
Yeah.
No, but I want to interject that the gentleman from the Riviera Theater, years back, I don't know if anyone's taken a look at the organ, but my father painted the organ, the artwork on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, back in the 70s.
Wow.
Yep. It's a very Boccaccio type of Renaissance figures. With the clothes, they're semi-nude, and, you know, as a little kid, seeing these semi-naked, women being painted was always, you know, the icing on the cake sneaking into my father's studio. But Riviera Theater is a great, great theater. I hope people take the opportunity to go check it out.
Well, I'm sure they will. I write for a newspaper in Rochester, so when I finally get to to writing the article for them, you know, I'm sure people will start making their way over there.
Well, we like our Rochester. We get a lot of people from Rochester that take the lazy drive on down, and they're some of our favorite patrons because they're just in a mood to just relax and enjoy. I mean, we always welcome the tourists, but we like to welcome them for a return visit. I know a lot of places that, again, as I stated earlier, they don't bank on repeat business, but, we treat everybody as somebody that we want to get back time and time again, even if they do live, 60, 70 miles away.
Well, and again, that ride from Rochester, if you take Route 18 right along the lake, it is just, it's just a beautiful, beautiful ride, or even 104, but especially Route 18. Just the views out across Lake Ontario. And,
oh, yeah, spectacular.
I think people, again, who are from a little bit further away are astounded at the miles and miles and miles and miles of waterfront that we have, whether it be at the lake or, along the Niagara River corridor.
Now, because I'm very partial to desserts, what kind of desserts do you have here?
One of our favorite desserts is the chocolate oblivion, we get a lot of our desserts from Bridget at the Village Bake Shop. She's tremendous, and we do some of our own. But we do a little bit of you know, everything, whether it's an apple crisp to a, you know, to a torts or tarts or, you know, again, we've got one dessert that we run, you know, later during the holiday season. It's an Italian wedding cake is really what my mother calls it. It's her recipe. But it's just a real stick-to-your-ribs cake that's very decadent because you mix ricotta cheese with it. And, boy, I'll tell you, you eat that and you say, wow, what happened to that? You know, I mean, it's just, you know, you got to have, you know, sometimes you just need something that sticks to your ribs and sometimes you want something that's just all wow. And we try to, you know, span the spectrum on that.
Well, you've got the kind of desserts, too, that you people say, oh, I'll just have a bite, I'll just have a little taste, and then all of a sudden it's gone.
Yeah. And we encourage people to share, you know. I mean, it's we're not looking to, you know, you get to some place and they're all about trying to, you know, cushion their ticket averages. We keep our prices very aggressive and as cost effective as possible because we know what the economy is like. And you know what, if there's a chance that somebody can split a dessert at the end of the meal, then thank you, Mario. Take care. I'm sorry, ladies, I'm just saying goodbye to my salesman here.
Oh, okay.
But it's
he can say hello to us.
Yeah, you'd love him. His name's Mario here. We're at Northtown. Good people.
Oh, okay.
But, same thing. You know, some people don't like the real heavy, you know, handed sweets, and we have things that are, you know, a little bit, you know, more, that aren't quite as sweet as the others. So, you know, as well as an array of, coffees and, you know, Baileys and Irish coffees and things along those lines. And so, you know, there's always an after-dinner cocktail to talk about, too.
Sure. And I would imagine you use wines from the region.
Oh, yeah. Cave Spring, we have, quite a few of the, local wineries. And, you know, I have to apologize because I just changed some things around it, and we were actually typesetting it today, getting ready for the for the weekend, but we also have a reserve list that is extremely aggressively priced. It is, we take some wines that are normally like, you know, $100 bottles of wine. We try to through the volumes and the purchasing that we have, we discount them to $65. Stag's Leap, for example, we sell wines that a lot of places have for $110, we discount them to, you know, $60 to $70 because, again, we want people who are really interested in having a great dining experience. And, you know, if you're at a table of four and you're, you know, the difference between a great bottle of wine and a good bottle of wine is only going to be $25, that's a real easy commitment.
Real. Yeah.
Wow. Do you have a website?
Yes, it's www.waterstreetlanding, that's all one word, .com. And we also have a Facebook address. And that's Water Street Landing. And we encourage everybody to sign up and be our friends on that. Our website is a little bit under construction. It's hopefully going to be tuned up over the next month. But we post the different events that are going on. We have a lot of live music that comes through the doors. We've got a real big Halloween party going on Saturday night. On Thursday night, we have a pumpkin carving party, which is always fun to combine alcohol and pumpkins and knives. So it's a great night. And we do a bunch of benefits as well. We're going to have a benefit for one of Western New York's premier musicians. His name is Chu Nero. He's fallen on some hard times. Unfortunately, his health is not where we want to see it. So we're going to have a big party for him. Every Western New York musician is coming to the place to either play or celebrate. And, you know, that's going to be on Sunday the 8th. And, you know, we try to give people a reason to come down. And, again, make it cost-effective and give them good value for their visit.
Is on your website, is the menu available?
It isn't as of yet, but it will be posted soon. But they can always just send us you know, a phone call, and we'll fax it to them or email them their menu.
Oh,
but
that's what I should have done. This way I could have, like, read off, and then I would have gone, oh, right, that's
what
I had.
you know, I kind of like the mysterious side of the interview here. You know, we're not, now people are going to have to peruse the menu and try to figure out what it was you were forgetting about.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to fax it to me, because when I write the article, I have to write down what I ate.
Yeah, we got to recreate that. We got to go visit your memory banks there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, once I see it, you know, once I see it, then, you know, then I'll go, oh, yeah, that's it. That's right. That's the one. Right.
Well, we got to get you down and come down to eat again, and that, and there's no better way than, you know, revisiting the site of the crime, right?
That's
well. I already told Merle she's got to come back when the jet boats are operating, because Merle and the jet boats, I think, are going to be a combination made in heaven.
Yeah.
World class. The jet boats are, you know, one of the greatest. You know, it's one of the greatest features. You know. Adventures that you can take really on the planet, and what I think is interesting is, you know, it's, I always like to tell people, you don't ask somebody, have you been on the jet boat before? It's you know it's kind of like saying, did you ever give birth before? People know that they've been on the jet
right.
boat,
yeah.
And you know, the guys run a really they run a great operation. You know what I think is a little unfortunate is it seems people from the other side of the globe are more familiar with it than people 20 miles away. And we always try to, you know, let people know what a great, you know, adventure it is. Because you know what? If people are having a good time, you know, we're in the entertainment business. And most people come to a restaurant to be entertained, you know, via the taste buds. But, you know, if they've been on that jet boat, something happens, their taste buds are more, you know, they're in a happier mood when they come and sit down at one of my tables. So it's a real good relationship.
Yeah. And by the way, I just kind of want to throw in, because I understand they had the this, like, unveiling of that statue. That's
the Freedom Crossing, the statue that commemorates Lewiston's role in the Underground Railroad, because again, that's a huge part of the history of the region here, and I think where that statue is sited is spectacular. It's right by the river, and it really sort of brings home to you what the people of Lewiston did to help fugitive slaves make their way across the river to freedom in Canada at the time. But that was just, it was last week, wasn't it, that was just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what's interesting is that Lewiston, in its heyday, was actually the largest city in Western New York, larger than Buffalo, and it was, everybody would come through the St. Lawrence Seaway, through Lake Ontario, and once they hit there, then they would hit land, and then you know, have to move by foot through other parts of the country. So we are the gateway to, you know, the West in a lot of ways. And, I mean, there's some, you know, there's great ghost stories about the area with all the different, you know, wars. And there's, you know, the story is that actually in our building, President McKinley was supposed to have slept in that building the night before he was assassinated, but he went to another establishment, which is no longer a saloon, but he actually went there, and I think the story goes is that he got a little intoxicated and passed out and stayed there instead of at the, you know, what was called, I believe it was called Angler's Retreat at the time. And so he, you know, woke up, freshened up, went to Buffalo, and that's where he was assassinated, in Buffalo, as opposed to in Lewiston, where the assassin staked him out to begin with. So that's one of the theories as to the McKinley assassination. But good stories around, you know, surround the whole community. Not that that's a good story, but it's a very rich story.
Yeah.
Do you ever host a murder mystery in your place?
You know, we did one of those a few years back. There were a couple of kids from Niagara University's theater department, and, you know, we've actually talked about bringing some more of those back, because there is a great arts community around. That's a good point. You're jogging my memory banks on that.
Well, people love murder mystery. Obviously, we've got so many activities going on for Halloween and haunts and harvest, and people just love to get into all of that kind of stuff. And actually, the ghost walks up in Lewiston on Friday and Saturday nights at this time of year are really terrific, and tons of people come up. I'm sure you probably see a lot of people that
come to
the restaurant after that. Yeah.
It's a great event. Again, you know, Lewiston is all about creating, you know, an excuse to come down. And, you know, there's been a lot of people that just show up and, you know, that I know from, you know, I'm originally from Buffalo, so, you know, I've kind of hung my hat in Lewiston now, and they come down and I say, hey, what brings you down here? And they, you know, they just say, well, we know that there's always something going on. So we just, you know, we don't need a reason, because we know that there's going to be a reason once we're there. And you know, again, these aren't the kind of things that you know, have to break the piggy bank to enjoy, you know.
Simple
things.
Well, especially like even in the summer, we've got Art Park, which is a wonderful outdoor venue, and they've got a very successful summer concert series, free concerts. And in fact, Lewiston probably has free music almost every night of the week in one way or another. And again, I think as you said, John, you know, you don't have to break the bank to come and enjoy.
Oh yeah, it's you know, like on Tuesday nights we have a gentleman. His name is Jack Civiletto, and my wife had a couple of her big bosses from New York were in from, you know, for business, and she told them to come down to the restaurant and check out the area, and they just fell in love with the geography, and they said, well, we get into this place, and we knew it was classy. They had Frank Sinatra music playing, and then they said, no, we realized it was a guy singing Frank Sinatra.
I mean, it's almost spooky. I mean, you really don't realize that this man is actually singing live. You think it's Frank.
Yeah, he's tremendous, and we have a good group of people that come in every Tuesday night. You know, a little bit of dancing, a little bit of cocktailing. It's great for adults. You know, we one Tuesday we had a lot of NU students that were dancing right alongside some of the more you know, adult population, and it was just a great mix.
So, I appreciate that you called in and told us about the place, and I'm going to call you later, because you're going to have to fax me the menu.
My pleasure, and I thank you for the time and the voice, and as usual, anything you guys need, you know, I'm always there for you.
Okay. Thank
we
you
love
so
you,
much,
John, and
Joanne.
We love the restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much.
All right, have a great evening.
You too. Thanks again.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Well, I know you're going to, Kate, that you have to, like, take
yes,
off,
it's time for me to bid you adieu as well.
I just want to let you know that, hopefully, that I have Robert Emerson on.
Oh, cool. Very good.
Hello, Robert.
Yes, hello.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to let you chat with Bob, as I have to get going now, and this hour has gone by extremely quickly, and I think we've learned more, and I know that we're tempting you with more things to come back to discover, and I think Bob's got tons of stuff to tell you about.
Oh, you're not kidding.
And he's got a special event coming up in the next week as well. So I will say goodnight to you, and just let people know that they can book packages online now directly from our website, which is www.niagara, and that's spelled niagara.com. Oh, excuse me, niagara-usa.com. And you can book packages, preformed packages. You can book attraction tickets, so such as tickets to the fort. You can make your hotel reservations. So lots of great values there. And, you know, we invite people to come to visit Niagara USA, because it really does offer something for everybody here. So I will say goodnight to you, Merle, and Hello, goodbye to you, Bob.
Okay, Kate, I'll talk with you soon.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, so Robert, now, to describe it, well, let's start from the beginning of kind of tell us what the old Fort Niagara is.
Well, it's an original fort that was started by the French in 1726. It's 8 years older than Independence Hall in Philadelphia. And it was actually occupied by various nations all the way up through 1963. The U.S. Army left here in that year. It was an active army base up till then. Of course, today the fort, the old fort, is a historic site. It's open to the public. And we preserve the six oldest buildings in the entire Great Lakes Basin.
So who built the fort, and what was it built for?
Well, the best way to get around in the 18th century in North America was by waterways, because roads were terrible. So the waterways became the superhighways of the 18th century, and Fort Niagara is located right at the mouth of the Niagara River. And you could come up the St. Lawrence River and cross Lake Ontario, and you could only go partway up the Niagara, of course, because you'd run into the falls. And there's a funny saying about, you can't sail a boat up Niagara Falls, and you can only sail a boat down Niagara Falls once. So the reality was that the fort guarded this portage road that went around the falls and allowed people traveling by boat to land their boat below the falls and carry everything up the escarpment and re-enter the Niagara River above the falls and sail on into Lake Erie and then the upper Great Lakes. So it was a great transportation highway in the 18th century. Whoever controlled this point of land here at the mouth of the river could keep their enemies out of the interior North America. And the French got here first, and they did just that until about 1759, when the British came and laid siege to the fort. And after a 19-day siege, they captured it, and so the Great Lakes became British controlled at that point.
So when you say the French owned it first, you say?
Yes.
Now, I mean, in other words, a bunch of people came from France and said, let's take this, or were they from France, or were they from, the province of Quebec?
Well, both. Of course, Quebec was called New France in those days. It was a
mm-hmm.
French colony. And, of course, the King of France appointed the governor, and he appointed, a lot of the other officials. So it was very much like the English colonies. New York was a colony of England. New France was a colony of metropolitan France. And, they set about, trying to establish their influence in the interior of North America. They set up a lot of forts and fur trading posts and missions to try to convert the native people to Catholicism. So they had quite an empire here in the interior of the continent. And because the French came here first, they were the first Europeans that explored, the Great Lakes. They were able to build this fort and keep the English out of the region until, basically 1760.
Uh-huh. And so let's get into, in terms of the war itself before we get into what, each of the buildings. But the,
sure.
So the history. So let's continue with what happened.
Well, the French were here, and the British and the French began to fight over the Ohio River Valley and who was going to really control America. And this developed into a war that we know today as the French and Indian War. It's called the 7 Years' War by Europeans. And basically this was a contest for who was going to control the continent. And in the end, the British triumphed. The French lost their North American empire. And with that empire, of course, went Fort Niagara. Fort Niagara was one of the key conquests that the British made during the war, another being Quebec, of course. And this changed everything for the Great Lakes because, had this war gone differently, we might be having this interview today in French rather than English.
This is true. Yeah.
so So the British, after they besieged the fort for 19 days. That means they bombarded the fort with their cannons. They defeated a French relief expedition only a mile from here in a bloody morning battle, and they were able to capture the fort in 1759. And they held on to the fort till 1796 through the American Revolution. This is one of the, Fort Niagara is one of the reasons that the American frontier was so violent during the Revolutionary War, because the British were sending raiding parties of Indians and loyalists against the frontiers. So this fort played a huge role in the frontier war of the American Revolution. Finally, in 1796, the British give the fort over to the U.S. by treaty, but they captured it back during the War of 1812, and they held it until the end of that conflict. And finally, the U.S. got it back in 1815 and has held it ever since.
Wow. All right, so now let's get into, like, to describe, like, if you're coming to see the fort, what would you see, what the each of the buildings?
Well, you know, we combine, I think, two really interesting things. We have original buildings, which a lot of forts do not. A lot of forts that you visit in North America are reconstructions. But our fort is original. These are the original buildings that were here in the 18th century. So you can actually touch a piece of history. You can walk on the same stones that people walked on 250 years ago. It's really great. So we've got a collection of the oldest building, as I said, was 1726, built by the French. We have a powder magazine built in 1757 by the French. We have a couple of redoubts, which is a word for a fort within a fort. We have a couple of redoubts that were built by the British just before the Revolutionary War. So all in all, these are original buildings that you can walk through, and the rooms are set up just like they would have been in the 18th century. They just look like the soldiers have just walked out. But I think, you know, the thing that brings these buildings alive for people are the living history programs that we present. And in any given summer, we have soldiers dressed in costume. They fire cannons. We fire muskets. We have cooking demonstrations. We have hands-on stuff for families. So it's a way that you can visit a historic place. You can touch history, but it's not a boring experience. It's not a museum under glass. It's a real it's an experience that just sucks you in and makes you a part of the past.
Well, I did notice that kids were like. Well, they weren't actually firing the muskets, but they were like, you know, as if they were setting up as if they were soldiers.
Right. We have hands-on programs for kids. They learn the drill, the infantry exercise of the period. They learn how you handle a musket. They learn how trade goods were packed into bales, and they learn a little bit about how they've prepared food. So it's just it's an interactive experience for people, and that's the best way to teach history, because, you know, kids don't realize that they're learning, but because they're just having fun. They're having fun living in another century.
Yeah. What do you think, in terms of, I guess particularly with kids, what do you think is their favorite of the buildings that they visit?
I think it's the French castle, because this is the oldest building on the site, and the French castle it's the biggest building here too, and has lots and lots of different rooms. A lot of children who visit us, of course, heard ghost stories about the building, and we try to play those down because we're here to teach history, but the ghost stories are very interesting to kids, and they want to know what they are and if they're true, and so there's a lot of fascination with this 200 and almost 200 and probably more than 280-year-old building.
Yeah. Now, if you're really going to get everything in, how much time would you say you could spend there?
Well, it depends. The minimum amount of time that you need to see everything here is about an hour and 45 minutes.
Okay.
And we have a visitor center that has exhibits about the history of the fort. There's a surround sound movie that you can watch. You walk in the fort and you tour all the buildings and you watch a musket demonstration. All of that takes about an hour and 45 minutes. I've seen families, though, that have come here at 9 o'clock in the morning and they leave at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They're just so fascinated with everything that's going on. And the thing about that's in the summer when we have, you know, more going on, but there's something different happening all day long. So you can literally, you know, watch a different program every 45 minutes or so throughout the day.
By the way, I assume there's a place to eat, too.
Oh, yeah. We have a snack bar. It has a little more than hardtack and salt pork and peas porridge, which is what they ate here in the 18th century. We cater a little bit more to the 21st century palate
mm-hmm.
in that respect.
Do they serve anything that was given that people did eat at that time?
Not too much. No, we're mainly mainly more soft drinks and snacks and hot dogs and things like that, because maybe we like our customers and we don't necessarily want to make them eat 18th century fare.
Describe what did they eat when you say?
Well, this fort was out here in the middle of nowhere, and so the diet was pretty monotonous for all the soldiers here, the British and the French and the Americans. They were eating a lot of bread that was baked here locally. They ate pea soup or peas porridge, depending on your nationality.
Oh, is that what they? That's what peas porridge.
Yep, day after day after day, because you got a ration of peas. And they had salt pork, which is basically because they didn't have refrigeration. They packed pork in barrels of brine, and the brine, the salt water, kept it from spoiling. So sometimes, you know, this stuff would be a couple of years old, and you'd break it out of the cask and eat it, cook it up and eat it. So it wasn't the best diet. French soldiers could hunt to supplement their rations, and everybody had gardens so you could grow fresh vegetables.
Right. What's interesting is like now, I mean, when you're eating pea soup, it's very common to have like ham or pork in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if it, you know, came from that.
Yes, it definitely did. You salt pork and peas made a very nice pea soup. Although, you know, they tended to use the meat in different ways. Sometimes they would just cook the salt pork and the peas separately.
Mm-hmm.
A favorite thing in the 18th century was to cook your meat and your vegetables together. Like, you know, we would cook a stew.
Right.
But then you would remove the meat and serve it separately. But the flavor of the meat would get into the vegetables, and it's just a little different way of doing things. That if we cook a stew today, we tend to serve it as a stew.
Right.
But in the 18th century, they had a tendency more to cook the meat in with the vegetables, but then to serve it separately.
Mm.
But when you're a private soldier, you don't usually get that much variety. You just have to survive on your rations or
right.
whatever.
Right. You're just eating to live.
Yeah.
As
exactly.
opposed to that I live to eat. Yeah. Well, probably if I ate to live, I probably would weigh a lot less too.
Well, somebody did a calculation one time, and they figured out that, you know, these soldiers got about 700 less calories a day than they needed to survive, according to their, you know, what the rations were that were issued. So they had to supplement their diets, and that was always scrounging around for things. And out here, where there wasn't much civilization, it would have been tough.
Yeah, I bet. So it's a great way to learn some living history.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of fun. And this past year, we've been focusing on the French and Indian War because it's the 250th anniversary of that conflict. So we've had British soldiers outside the fort, and they're laying siege to the fort, and they're firing cannons at the fort, and they're muskets at the fort. And we have some actors that portray specific characters from the siege, and they talk to the public as if it were 1759. What we call first-person interpretation,
right,
which means you actually meet the person and they portray the character. And we have journals from these people, so we know a little bit about them.
Cool.
And then as the visitors come on in the fort, they meet the French garrison and some characters inside the fort. We have a native interpreter who talks about the Indian story, the way the Native Americans viewed the whole thing. So, you know, it's really trying to give people different perspectives on an event from the past.
Great. So now, in terms of location, where is it in, like, in terms of, let's say, Lewiston?
Well, we're about 7 miles north of Lewiston.
Okay.
15 miles north of Niagara Falls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who are coming to Niagara Falls, there's a lot of signage that, you know, points them to Fort Niagara, but they just need to keep coming north, and we're just about the last place you can go before you get into Canada.
Right.
And in fact, we're one of the few places in the United States that you can actually look south into Canada.
Really?
But, we're only about 20 minutes from Niagara Falls. There's a good road that connects the two places, and it's just a short drive, but it's a short drive in terms of distance, but it's a long journey back in time that I think really shows people what the first settlers of this area had to deal with.
Right. Now, is there a website?
Yes. In fact, our website is pretty easy. It's www.oldfortniagara.org.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually go on the website and take a virtual tour.
Oh, cool.
Of the fort. You go to our homepage and mm-hmm. just click on Visit the Fort. And when that opens up, there's another place you can click for a virtual tour. And, you know, using your cursor, you can actually, you know, look at 360 degrees of most of our buildings. And we have costume characters in the rooms, and you click on them, and it tells you who they are, and a little bit of the history. So you can visit the fort, you know, without making that long drive. And I think most people who visit the virtual tour really makes them want to get in the car and come here.
Oh,
it's just such a cool place.
Yeah, I thought it was. And I'm not a big history buff either.
Well, you know, that's most people aren't, and that's why the living history is so important, because it just engages lots of folks and helps people understand that the people who lived here were folks just like you and I, and they had their everyday problems just like we do. And it's just interesting to see how they overcame a lot of their challenges.
Okay.
The other thing about the website that I'll mention is it does
sure.
have a complete list of our special events. We run events all year long, and people can see what's coming up next.
Cool. Great. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Robert.
My pleasure. Thank you for having us.
And, hopefully we get people to visit the website. And, of course, I'll be writing about this, too.
Excellent. Excellent.
I'm just catching up to all the things I need to be writing about. So I start with the – I mean, I don't know if you saw – because I put everything up first on my Blogspot site.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've gotten to see it yet.
I haven't had a chance to look.
You should. As a matter of fact, Esther, my rubber chicken, has gotten into some of the photos as well. Yeah, mm-hmm. She certainly has, yeah. Again, I appreciate you calling in, and I'll get in touch with you in case I need any questions for my article.
Sure. Anytime. Just give me a call.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Have a good evening.
Have a great evening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes. Okay. Taking a break with one of the songs that I love so much from the show Hair.
We starve, look at one another, short of breath, walking proudly in our winter coats, wearing smells from laboratories, facing a dying nation.
Calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No. No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue, based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be JetBluing pretty soon, going to Pittsburgh. But then I'll be air-training down to New Orleans. Yes. We'll talk about air-training another time, too. That's another great airline. I love those airlines, too. I haven't been on them for a while, but I also kind of let you know in terms of with the both of them. Now, I think with JetBlue, the first baggage is free. AirTran, I'm not sure. I was I'm flying business class, so I think. Not only the first, I think maybe the second is free. It's also mixed up these days with the baggage, just more baggage for you to think about. But when I go down to New Orleans, I'll be going on Sweet Cruise. It's going to be. A load of lesbians. That's what I'm going to say. That's what it's going to be. Oh, man, this is going to be better than Provincetown, I guess. And or maybe, no, not comparable. More than, maybe comparable, I guess, maybe to Women's Week in P-Town. I think I'm looking forward to it. The trip itself. I'm looking forward to the trip, but I'm hoping I can handle the if there's I get seasick, so I hope I'm going to be bringing have ginger things with me to handle that. And I think as I commented, I'm in Cozumel. I'm going to walk under the water. I'll let you know when I get back. Yeah, it's if I can do it, you can do it. It's one of those things, really. I mean, but anyway, I have to say that I'm very, very disappointed with Esther tonight. She usually, will at least tell me what I ate, and I really totally forgot what it was that I had, and. Maybe she had some wine at the time and forgot. I'm not sure what the story is. I'll look on my website to see if I perhaps took any photos with her there. But anyway, so actually I'm going to end early. I was going to go on for another half hour, but I'm hungry, and I think I've gotten just about enough stuff regarding Niagara Falls, USA. And I'm not sure what I'll be talking about next week, but most likely I'll be on Thursday, and I'll set up the show. I know what I'll be talking about. This Friday is the annual chocolate show in New York. It's Friday, I believe, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and so I probably will be discussing some different chocolates and some chocolate companies. That's one of the things that I'll get in. Yeah, I don't know if I'll do a whole show on chocolate or not, but I'm going to have my din-din and will probably, knowing me, have an extra dessert. Well, you know, stressed spelled backwards is desserts. Remember that. And I'll talk to everybody next week. So have a great day.